This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Thanks for listening to the Wilderness Medicine Podcast. It is called AWLS, which stands for Advanced Wilderness Life Support, but it is for all people interested and who go into the backcountry and need to know the medicine and the illnesses and the problems that happen when you go into the backcountry. Go to www.wildmedu.org to look at all of the resources that we have for free. And help us to make people safe and healthy as they explore this absolutely incredibly beautiful world that we live in. One of the things that we have to be very careful with is diseases out there. The truth of the matter is almost all diseases that we get when we go into the backcountry, we take with us. Human bodies and the food we take has a lot of disease on it. But there are, in fact, diseases that are out there waiting and lurking for us. And most of these are in things like insects and ticks. Now, ticks is not an insect, although we think about it. It is more like a spider or it's an arachnid family. But we want to talk real briefly about ticks and the diseases that they have. Everybody knows that ticks can carry disease and that if you get a tick on you, you can get a disease. Not that you do get one, but you can get one. And there are several dozen diseases out there. Most of the diseases that ticks carry are found in the United States of America. And if you look at the United States, it's the Northeast, and in the whole eastern part of the United States is really where there are most of the ticks. One of the things when you travel in the backcountry, it becomes very important that you look and see what the tick burden is in that area and the diseases that could be carried. And if you are a physician or a clinician or a practice medicine at any level, it should be, you should know what diseases are out there so that when patients come back and have a fever, chills, or a rash, and you ask them, well, have you been in the backcountry? Have you been hiking? And then you should know basically what the disease that might be there and then how you might want to treat it. Specifically, the United States of America, which we'll talk about today, and that is the diseases that we have here. And if I said on a test or actually the question, what disease that ticks carry in the United States, most everybody in the world that knows about tick-borne diseases would say Lyme disease. And that is correct. The Lyme disease is not completely found in the United States, but it definitely is the United States' predominant disease. It is reported in the upper Midwest, Northeastern and Mid-Atlantic states, where it is spread by the deer tick or the Exotis scapularis tick. Some cases reported in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington, and where it is spread by a different tick, but a very similar tick to that. There are high incidence states like Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, I think, New Jersey, New York, and the states in those areas. Even in Washington, D.C., West Virginia, and Wisconsin, have a lot of cases of that. The early sign and symptom are going to be the things that you have, like fever, chills, malaise, fatigue, headache, myalgia, arthralgia, some lymphadenopathy, swelling of lymph glands. But one of the things that really stands out is the erythema migrans rash. It's a red annular, sort of this homogeneous rash at the site of the tick bite. It expands gradually over days. And this is seen in about 70 to 80% of cases. So that means you don't have to get it, but up to 70 to 80% of people who have it, this rash, have Lyme disease. Be careful though, because Starry, S-T-A-R-I, which is a similar disease carried by a different tick, the Lone Star tick, also gives you an annular rash. And so you absolutely are going to need to know about that one, because you want to be able to compare the difference between the two. And know that the Starry is a much milder disease, the causative agent of which is not known at this time. But since it's similar to Lyme, you need to know about that. So Lyme disease is one of those diseases which you need to know that if you're in that part of the United States and also in the world, because it is found in other places of the world, is a very, very, very common. So the tick in the area will, and knowing that the disease in that area will help guide you in knowing if it is Lyme disease. Now, one thing I'll say in this podcast, we're not going to talk about specifically the treatment of each one of these diseases. So the main thing we want you to know is to recognize and diagnose it, and then you can treat it accordingly. But Lyme disease needs to be treated usually with doxycycline. But again, we want you to just be able to recognize and know what diseases are out there. Another very common disease is called tick-borne relapsing fever. It is found in the United States, usually in the mountainous areas of the western United States, where it is associated with exposure to soft ticks. Now, basically, there are hard ticks, hard-shell ticks, and soft-shell ticks, and they carry different diseases. But this tick-borne relapsing fever is often found in those mountainous areas. And the ticks like to live in rustic cabins. So if your patients, your family, friends are in the rustic cabins, where they'll live right in there. And so these mountainous areas, but it's also found in Texas. And the other interesting thing about this disease is it takes about 7, maybe up to even 7 days, 14, maybe even 21 days. So this usually will happen after you get home from your trip. The hallmark of this is a recurrent febrile episode, so it's, that will last for about 3 days. If you're out on a long trek and you start getting fevers, then you might have the tick-borne relapsing fever. The fever can get pretty high. You can get sweats, headaches with it, and it can be transmitted transplacentally, which is interesting, something that you need to know about this particular disease. There is another relapsing fever, not from the soft shell, but from the hard shell tick, and this is another Ixodes species. It is in the upper Midwest, Northeastern, and Mid-Atlantic states. So if you're in those areas, you need to think about this. It's a slightly different disease, but with similar symptoms. The incubation period on this can be as little as 3 days. So this one can happen when you're on your trek or camping out, and it could be even weeks after that. I think that there have been some cases out to even 6 weeks with this disease. It's similar in that it has fever, chills, but it has the relapsing fever. In most of the cases, the fatigue and the myalgias are really common with that one. And so you'll have to diagnose that based largely on the you can get a diagnosis of that. But this is these diseases are not the ones that you fear that will cause death or long-term sequelae that can happen with some of the others. Another one that is a little more concerning is anaplasmosis, which is in fact a very severe and life-threatening illness, but it is less common compared to other rickettsial diseases, such as like Rocky Mountain spotted fever or ehrlichiosis. The fatality rate among patients who seek care for this illness is less than 1%, but the fact that it does have a fatality rate among tick-borne diseases is what is concerning. So you want to know about anaplasmosis, where it is found, and make sure you identify this quickly because it is treatable with antibiotics. It is usually, mostly in the United States, in the upper Midwest and northeastern United States, in areas that correspond with the same distribution of Lyme disease and other Ixodes species. Due to the common vector, it is very, very possible. The other thing you need to know, it's when you talk about babesiosis and Powassan disease, it's sometimes confused with that. So these are some of the things that you want to watch for in those areas. It has an incubation period of a week or 2 weeks, something like that. It begins with fever, chills, headache, malaise, myalgia, this typical things, but this one tends to have more GI, and the rashes that come with this are a little bit less. But you want to think about anaplasmosis if you're in those areas and not just to assume it's one of the more common ones, because that can be a problem, because anaplasmosis does have a fatality rate that is, while it's not huge, it's worth noting. And another disease that is found in those same areas, of course, is ehrlichiosis. This disease is one of the strange ones because the incidence of this disease usually increases with age. But despite that, If they have a fatality rate with ehrlichiosis, it's among young kids, even though young kids don't tend not to get it. Usually see it, if there is a case fatality rate, it's people who are over 70 years of age. Ehrlichiosis is most frequently reported from the southeastern and south-central United States, but it has gone all the way westward over towards Texas and all of those Gulf states. The areas from which most cases have been reported are the same distribution as the Lone Star tick. And this is a tick that is worth noting because it carries so many diseases. But if you're in the area of the Lone Star tick, you have to think of ehrlichiosis if people come in with this kind of disease. And so the incubation period is a week to 2 weeks. It's a lot of these are the same symptoms: fever, chills, headache, malaise, muscle pain. This one also has a GI problem. But a lot of times when people come in, they have an altered mental status with ehrlichiosis, and it does often come with a rash. The rash tends to be with the kids, even though older people tend to get this disease and have symptoms. So watch for ehrlichiosis, especially where you have the Lone Star tick. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, while a famous disease, it is not found in the Rocky Mountains. It was named after the Rocky Mountain Labs up in Bozeman, Montana. So it gives the impression that it is found out west, but typically it is not there as often. It is transmitted by an interesting tick. It's the American dog tick, and that is in the eastern, central, and United States is where it is predominantly found, in Tennessee, North and South Carolina, going around those states. And it is now found down in, down towards the Mexican border, and it extends down there. This is found around the world, but that is where it is found. And so if you're in the United States and trekking in the east central states, and if people come in with sickness, you need to jump on this one quickly, because Rocky Mountain spotted fever can be rapidly fatal if not treated within the first 5 days of symptoms. And now we have to repeat that because this is a very, very serious disease and can take someone's life and cause really bad problems. Before tetracycline antibiotics were available, the case fatality rate of this ranged from 20 to 80%. So that means if you don't give antibiotics, these people can die. Since 2010, the cases of Rocky Mountain spotted fever are reported as spotted fever rickettsiosis, along with other spotted fevers. And so you want to be aware that it could be something else. And this disease has been increasing in certain areas of Arizona over the last several years, where I think the number is over 500 cases and 28 fatality cases occurred in that area. So it's making a stronger presence out west in the United States. In the early stages of this, it has a very high fever, severe headache, malaise, myalgias. A lot of people get edema around their eyes and on the back of their hands. And this disease usually begins outwards and moves inwards. A rash appears 2 to 5 days after the onset. But you have to remember that 10% of the patients with Rocky Mountain spotted fever don't get a rash. It's usually like a macular papular rash, meaning a small, flat, pink rash. And then the late rash is more petechial, and that tends to be a sign of the progression. Diagnosis is usually based on laboratory settings. So watch out for this one. And if you and the patients are traveling into the area where Rocky Mountain spotted fever is endemic, make sure that you stay on top of that one. Another one we want to mention is tularemia. Tularemia is caused by a very highly infectious agent. It is spread through exposure to infected deer flies, but a lot of this is a number of species of ticks will spread this. And it's usually infected carcasses of animals such as rabbits, hares, and rodents like that. But it can also come from contaminated food or water. And a lot of cases of this can be aerosolized. Francella tularensis is the disease, and it is reported in all of the United States except Hawaii. It is the most common in the south-central United States and the Great Plains and in parts of Massachusetts. The incubation period is usually less than a week, although I think they've had cases out a little bit longer than that. again, you're going to see fever, chills, headache, malaise, anorexia, myalgias. A lot of these diseases, though, because if you have the chest symptoms, you'll get a discomfort and a cough. We also have seen vomiting and diarrhea, abdominal problems. You get photophobia, vision problems. You get sore throats, and you can get a cough with this. So be aware where tularemia might be found, and it is not only spread by ticks, but by those other methods. Now, another one that we want to call attention to is one that is making a real big strong back in the United States, and this is Heartland virus, and the Bourbon virus diseases are very similar. It's caused by the Heartland virus. As of 2017, more than 50 cases of Heartland virus have been reported in the Midwest and in the South. It is one of those diseases where the ranges are unknown. Most patients reported a tick bite in the two-week period prior to the illness. You want to start thinking about Heartland virus. It's fever, fatigue, decreased appetite, headache, nausea, vomiting. You can get your white cell count can drop. So this is one that is just a virus, so there's not much treatment. And many patients diagnosed with this disease have required hospitalization, and then they need reported care. So you want to start looking where Heartland, and also known as Bourbon virus, and start jumping on that one. The Colorado tick fever is yet another disease. It's a virus, and it is the geographical range of this is the western United States, basically, Colorado, Utah, Montana. It can be transmitted from person to person, but that is insanely rare. The incubation period can be just a day, but it can come up a couple days later. This is one of those diseases in the western United States where people come in, just don't feel well, fever, chills, headache, they have lethargy, and this is not a disease that is going to has a high mortality rate, but it's one that you need to do ask where these people have been, because they've been out in the mountains or out where ticks are known. They may have this. One of the things about this disease is sometimes you get a macular papule or sometimes a petechial rash, but that's in like less than a fifth of the patients. This, again, is a disease that is rarely fatal and just makes people miserable, oftentimes in the middle of the summer. Just a couple more that we want to talk about, and one is called the Powassan virus disease. This is caused by the virus with the same name. This one is making a comeback in the United States. It's in the northeastern states, the Great Lakes region. It has been found in the mid-Atlantic states. This is usually a week or 2 weeks after you get it. It's named after a young boy who died in the 1950s in Canada, just by the United States border, and then it has progressed to the United States. So keep an eye out on this one. This one needs to be measured and tested very carefully and to make sure that they aren't getting this. I think this, in the cases in New York, have had in the last couple decades, has been small, somewhere around 50 cases or so. But this is one that you want to keep an eye on and make sure that one of the several diseases that you know that are coming back. And remember also that in the United States that we're seeing the alpha-gal syndrome carried by the Lone Star tick, and Starry, which is carried by the Lone Star tick. So one of the things that's really important to do for clinicians and people going to the backcountry is to make sure that you know the ticks that are in the area in which you are, your patients or your family or you are traveling, and then just go to the Center for Disease Control site or to any site that can relate for you the diseases are known in that area. The alpha-gal syndrome is not a disease, it's an allergy, but this is one that is making the Lone Star tick carries in the United States. It is rapidly becoming around and one you want to keep an eye on. We had a podcast on this earlier, but briefly, a tick that bites a hoofed animal will get the alpha-gal sugar into them, and then if they bite a human, then that human is sensitized, so the next time they eat something with the alpha-gal sugar, like a hamburger or meat from an animal. Or, which is interesting, some of the chemotherapeutic agents have the alpha-gal sugar, and so they get this horrible allergic reaction to it. It can be life-threatening just because of anaphylaxis. That's just one that you want to keep an eye on. And make sure that you watch this if people are having unexplained rashes. And it also comes with a lot of abdominal symptoms. So you want to watch for that. Again, that's just the Lone Star tick in the southeastern. Well, it's really found along the whole eastern United States. A lot of cases have been found anywhere east of the Mississippi River. And then the other one, we did a podcast on between the difference between Starry and Lyme disease, because they both get that erythema migrans rash. And the causative agent of Starry still is not known, and the treatment is just supportive. Most people will get very sick with that. They get a rash, and people will confuse it with Lyme disease. Anyway, there's a lot of diseases, and again, I think the best suggestion that we can make to anybody is to avoid tick bites. And the way you avoid tick bites is to be very careful in the outdoors. You can use DEET, loose-fitting clothes, permethrin, and things that will keep the ticks from biting. But the one other piece of advice is frequent tick checks, because it isn't instantaneous like a mosquito bite. Tick-borne infections take a while to get into humans. And so if you get rid of ticks quickly, then the chances of getting a tick-borne infection is rare, much less common, I should say. Like Lyme disease can be up to 3 days with the tick on you. So frequent tick checks when you're in the backcountry, especially in areas where you know there's a lot of ticks. That is a lot in one podcast. But again, look at the tick, look at the diseases in the areas where you, your patients, your family, friends are going, so you can be aware of those diseases and know which ones to look for. Well, this ends this podcast on tick-borne diseases in the United States. And as always, we say thank you for listening.